Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk
Radio. Long story. I apologize. All in. Living in boots for 7 days. During this feast, we are also to invite the world. This is one of the feasts that you can invite the Gentile to, the unsaved Gentile. All the other feasts are required that, you know, you be a member of Israel, that you are circumcised if you're a male, and so forth. But this feast day is one of the feast days that is used by the Most High to introduce himself to the world and to for Israel to teach the world about him. So this is one of the feast days that all of the Gentile nations in the kingdom, in Messiah's kingdom, when he establishes his millennial kingdom, this is one of the feast days that all of the people will be required to come to. Because it doesn't require you to enter into the temple area. So we're going to look at this in a little bit more detail. And I'm going to ask you to, you know, pardon me a little bit. The precept that I had done on this, I am not able to find it. So I'm sort of impromptu redoing this as we go along this morning. So if I have to look up some things that I typically would already have, you know, I beg your pardon on it. But we want to, you know, look and see what this feast is all about, and then we want to look deeper because the Most High, this feast day is to show us who we are as a people and what we're why the people don't have to enter into the temple area for this feast day. So we're going to look at this and what it represents in Messiah. What he went through on the cross. It's also tied to this day. Okay? But with that being said, we want to welcome everybody in Blog Talk, on Pal Talk, on the internet in general, those that have called in on the phone, those that are listening in the classroom, that are listening to the live stream. We greet you all in the master name of Yeshua HaMashiach, whether you were are in North America or South America, on the African continent, in the European theater, in the Middle East, in the Far East, in the communist bloc countries, you, in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus Christ. Let us go ahead and start with our statement of faith on this morning. I believe that all scripture is given by the instant of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep the commandments according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 18. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on this morning. Hallelujah, Father. Thank you, God, Elohim. We just glorify you, Father, and we lift you up and we extol you on this morning. We magnify your name. Hallelujah. We sing praises unto you, O God, Elohim, for truly you are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy of all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. And, Father, we just come together on today, this your appointed day, and we honor you in it, Father, and we thank you for allowing us to just bow down and be your worshipers, Father, and to be your children. Thank you, Yah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah and hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Yah Elohim. We just glorify you on this day. You are our Elohim, and there is none like you. No, not one. And we thank you for giving us a mind to be on you and to worship you. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy today. We thank you for the opportunity to come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people should keep perpetually throughout all time. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquities of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here. We can keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments, in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people have done, Israel have done wickedly, that we have walked contrary to you, and that you have walked contrary to us. But if we would return from our wicked ways and repent from our sins and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world from your eyes and your ears towards your people Israel. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you and that you have walked contrary to us. And, Father, we are repenting from our sins and turning from our wicked ways, and we won't complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world. But this will be our testimony. This is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, we pray for the seed of Israel that is asleep, that you will wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, laws, and your commandments. We pray for the seed of Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, a spirit of love, for you are love. We pray for the seed of Abraham, all that you call a Messiah, that they would hear your voice and that they would come and obey and keep your commandments, your statutes, your laws, and your commandments, Father. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom, we ask that you would smile upon this work, and that you would give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, I pray. Amen and amen. And again, we're going to have the blowing of the shofar. I'm going to blow mine first. And again, excuse me if you know, however this comes out. Wait a minute.
I get so excited when I think of all the things you've done for me. Do as you will, you want done with me. Oh yeah, 'cause I'm tired of fighting. Sometimes it gets hard, I cannot do it alone. 'Cause I need you, yeah, on my side. You are the light up high. All praise to you. Up high, to worship you. My knees, all praise to you. I vow to be humble. Yeah, hearken to my sincere supplication. When I'm weak and when I stumble, you are always there to catch me when I fall. You are my rock and salvation, only one that I can trust, you're my best friend. Whenever I'm in doubt, to you I'll give a shout. With hands held high, I'll be calling on your name. Yeah, I raise to worship you. Bow down, all praise to you. Up high, to worship you. Yeah, I need you. I need you, yeah, I need you, yeah, I need you, oh, I need you, oh, I need you, oh, I need you, I need you, oh.
Faithfulness. over and over. I have a home found in your name. I have a strength found in your grace, your faithfulness, my fortress, over and over. Make way to the water, walk me through the fire, do what you are famous for, what you are famous for. Shut the mouth of lions, bring dry bones to life, do what you are famous for, what you are famous for. I believe in you, God, I believe in you.
But it's a temporary dwelling that is to cause Israel to remember how they dwelt in the wilderness. And let me get those real quick, those verses. Hold on. Well, I'll come back to that. We're to celebrate this holiday. The first day and the seventh day, or the eighth day, is a solemn assembly. And we are to remember how the Most High kept us in the wilderness and how we dwelt in temporary booths. Let's go to Zechariah chapter 14 real quick. The book of Zechariah chapter 14. And we're going to start in verse 16. We're not going to read all of this, but we're going to get, this is one of the few feast days, the only feast day that I know of that the nation, that you can invite anybody from any nation, you know, whether they are saved or unsaved, they must come to this feast. And in the future, it's going to be mandatory that they come to this feast, to this feast day. Zechariah chapter 14, and verse 16 is the relevant verse. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, to worship the Most High, Yahweh, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, Yahweh, even unto them shall be no rank. So the Most High is saying for these nations, and then we'll get back into the meaning of this particular feast, that in the future, after Yah's day, after he comes and takes vengeance out on the world, those nations that are left, the Messiah doesn't utterly destroy, who's ever left out of them will be required to come to Jerusalem every Feast of Tabernacles. And if they will not come up, then what the Most High is going to cause is for rain not to fall on their land, and they will their land will suffer from plague. So when they should be being blessed, they will suffer from plague because they're still in disobedience. Tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and to the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. In that day shall there be upon the bells of the horses holiness unto Yah. And the pots and the pots in Yah's house shall be like bowls before the altar. Yea, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judea shall be holiness unto Yah, and all they that sacrifice shall come and take them and seed therein, and in that day there shall be no more a Canaanite in the house of Yah. So this is the feast day, and what's supposed to happen during this time in other books, that the nations that come up to worship the Most High, there they will learn of his law, his statutes, his commandments, how they are to live in his kingdom. Okay, so this feast day has significance in that regard. Now, this feast is also tied to Messiah. Okay, it's also tied to Messiah. So let's go to the book of Exodus. What a lot of us, you know, our Hebrew brothers and sisters use this day for. But this day is so much deeper than just this right here. Exodus chapter 25. And let's just start in verse 1. We'll get verses 1 through 9. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering. Of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, you shall take my offering. So this is the Most High saying, I want every man to freely come and give me an offering. Okay? If you don't want to bring it, don't bring me an offering. And this is the offering which you shall take of them, gold and silver and brass, and blue and purple and scarlet, and fine linen and goat's hair, and ram skin dyed red, and badger skin and shittim wood, oil of the light, spices of the for ointment oil, and for sweet incense, onyx stones and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate. And let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them. So this is what the tabernacle was all about, the Most High dwelling with Israel. And he dwelt in a temporary dwelling. The tent that they're making up here, that he's telling them to bring the offering for, and the tabernacle that's going to go within the sanctuary, is temporary. Okay, and so just as we lived in temporary housing in the wilderness, so did the Most High. Okay. And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. Now, this is significant in that the Most High has always wanted to dwell amongst his people. Not even just amongst his people. He wanted to dwell in his people. Okay, that was the whole thing from the beginning, from Adam all the way up. But because of sin, he could not do it. He would not do it. So when he establishes Israel, his goal is to make it just like the garden, where he walked in the garden with Adam and Eve. He was going to walk amongst Israel, his people. He's going to dwell there amongst them. Okay, and you'd have to read the stories, but because the people were so filthy, you know, they were taking dumps in the camp and, you know, just leaving it there. Most guys like, you know, there's doo-doo in the camp, and I can't dwell with y'all. Y'all just unclean. So he made them move the tabernacle outside of the camp. But it was his desire to dwell with his people, and that's what you have to understand. This is what this is all about. And even today, when we get through with this, you will see that this tabernacle and this observance of the feast day is about Yah dwelling with us. Okay? And according to all I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so you shall make it. Now, the tabernacle that he's speaking of is the tabernacle that he showed Moses of the one that's in heaven. He showed it to him up on the mount when he was there 40 days, the tabernacle after this pattern. And then make a sanctuary to go around it where you're going to put the tabernacle in, and that's where I'm going to dwell. And I'm going to live amongst my people. And you're going to come and inquire of me there. I will meet you there. Okay. But this tabernacle is tied to Messiah. Okay. And when I show, I'm not going to do it today, but when I show you that the tabernacle was started in the fourth month, and it was completed in the first month. It was raised up on the first month, Nisan, the first of Nisan, 9 months. Just like a child is in the womb, they were 9 months making this tabernacle. And on the first day of Nisan, the first of the year, they raised the tabernacle. And that would also signify Messiah's birth. Okay. But in this tabernacle, the Most High dwelling with us, tabernacle represents a man. And the Most High dwelling with man. So let's go to Matthew chapter 27, the book of Matthew chapter 27. Now remember that, you know, we have all should have already read the stories of the tabernacle and it being built, and the veil that was put before the Holy of Holies, the mercy seat, where the altar of incense was, the veil that split the room, the outer court from the inner court, the Holy of Holies, where the Most High would meet them, only the high priest could go in there once a year. Everybody else could not go in there. When the Most High came in the flesh, and this is what, you know, a lot of people have to understand, this is who Messiah was. He was the Most High in flesh, the creator of the world. in flesh. And what the way he had wanted to come to man the whole time with Israel, with Adam and Eve, it was his desire to dwell in Adam and Eve. Sin, it didn't happen. He walked among them. But it was his goal to actually dwell in them. When David asked to build the Most High a sanctuary, he says, what sanctuary will you build me, seeing that my hands have created all this? I created my sanctuary already long ago. But David didn't understand that it was his people. That's where the Most High desired to dwell, inside of his people, his sanctuary. So he allowed Moses to build a temporary sanctuary. And he dwelt amongst Israel there. He says, you know, and let everybody do this willingly. And today he wants you to do it willingly. That's why when he says we must be born of the water and of the Spirit, that was his desire, that he would dwell inside of us, with us. We would be his sanctuary. So let's go to Matthew chapter 27. And I won't be before you long this morning. As I said, the original message that I had for this, that I prepared, I lost it. And so I'm sort of putting it back together this morning. You know, I will do another lesson on this maybe during the week where I lay all this out. But I'm giving you the gist, the overhead of what this feast day is all about. It's not just a matter of living in temporary tents and remembering that we walked in the wilderness. That's part of it. The Most I don't want us to forget that I sustained you 40 years and your clothes didn't rot and your shoes didn't rot. And your feet didn't swell up. But it also goes beyond that. Okay. So Matthew chapter 27, let's start in verse 51. Now this is, in this scenario, Messiah is spot on the cross. And when John was given the vision of who Messiah is and who he was announcing in the book of Isaiah, I believe it's chapter 40, Isaiah is told to one crying in the wilderness that he was going to announce the arrival of the Most High Elohim. Behold, Israel, your Elohim, your God. He's here in the flesh. Okay, this is who John was supposed to announce. And so Messiah has come, and he has performed his ministry, and he has introduced the people back to the Most High the way that the Most High wants us to know him. He's the example. The Most High said, I need to show you I want to be worshipped. I need to show you how I want you to think about my statutes, my laws, my commandments. And then I'm going to pay the price for you. I'm going to make a way for you to come back to me that you can't do for yourself. The blood of bulls and goats, I never wanted. And I did that as a temporary measure until I could come and do this work. Okay? So he is being crucified on the cross. Okay? And in verse 51, now let's start in verse 49. He's calling out to the Most High. And they're thinking that he's calling to Elias. And the rest said, let me, verse 49, let us see whether Elias will come down to save him. Yeshua, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. He died. Now, if you understand who he is, the Most High in flesh, then when he died, he was telling Israel, I'm no longer going to meet. Matter of fact, when the Ruach HaKodesh came down and John saw the Ruach light upon Messiah in the form of a dove. He saw a dove. He didn't really see a dove. He saw the Spirit descend like a dove. See a dove land. A dove doesn't land like normal birds. It sort of just drops out of the sky real quick. So the Holy Spirit fell on Messiah so John could see that he is the Messiah. This is the sign that he was looking for. Okay. Because when you see this sign, The one you see this happen to is the one that baptizes with the Holy Ghost or with the Ruach HaKodesh. From that point on, the Most High was not meeting Israel in the temple, in the Holy of Holies. That was done with. He was in Messiah. He was showing that the fullness of the Godhead bodily, all of the Ruach HaKodesh is in this one person. And this is how I'm going to communicate with you. This is how I'm going to deal with you from this position. Okay, so he wasn't going to meet Israel, the high priest, anymore. So in the next verse, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent. It was torn in two from top to bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rock rent it. The rock tore. They broke open. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city. Now, this is forward after his resurrection because we're just reading about his death. So when he dies, the veil in the tabernacle rents into it, tears in two from top to bottom. And who steps out? Who steps out of the Holy of Holies, the Most High. I'm no longer going to meet you there. I'm going to meet you through Messiah. Okay, now let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. The book of Hebrews chapter 10. And let us get verse 1. And actually we're going to start. Let's start in verse 16. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16. And he's talking about the new covenant, okay? This new covenant. And it's tied to Messiah's death, which is also tied to the tabernacle, okay? Wherefore, the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he has said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days. I will put my laws in their hearts and in their minds, and will I write them. And their sins and iniquity I will remember no more. Now, where remission of these is, there is no more offering of for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest of by the blood of Yeshua, by a new and living way, which is he has consecrated for us through the veil. Now, they would go and get atonement. I'm going to stop right there in this for a moment. They would go, when they were doing sacrifices in the temple, they would take some of the blood and they would sprinkle it on the veil. If you were a priest or if it was for the nation, then the blood of Messiah was sprinkled on the veil between the Holy of Holies. And then some was put on the altar of burnt incense. And then the rest was poured at the altar of burnt offering. And so this veil that was between the people and the Most High was rent into, was torn into. The Most High says, not use this anymore. So the veil is open. You can come in here. Why? Because I'm not there. I'm not going to ever meet you there anymore. But when the flesh of Messiah was torn, because the Most High was dwelling in Messiah at this time, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. So the Most High was dwelling in Messiah when Messiah was crucified and his horn, and he died. Then the Most High says, now I'm going to release my spirit to all men. I'm not going to meet you in this place. I'm going to give to you my spirit up under the new covenant. Because my desire is to dwell in you. Just like I dwelled in this body of flesh in Messiah, my desire is to dwell in you. And so when the flesh of Messiah is torn, the Most High, Elohim, the Father, steps out and says, now I'm going to start begetting children spiritually by my spirit. What I used to reserve for the prophet and for the king, now I'm going to pour it out upon all flesh. So let's go to Acts chapter 2. The book of Acts chapter 2. Starting verse 36. Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 36. Therefore, let all of the house of Israel know assuredly that Elohim has made this man Yeshua, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, Christ is a title, is not a last name. Christ is a title. The power and the wisdom of Elohim unto salvation. This is the means by which the Most High is bringing salvation to man. The vehicle, this body. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ, for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. How was it released when Messiah's flesh was born and he died? The Father came out of that body, took the blood into heaven. Son, I'm doing this. Paid the price. Because now I'm going to start baptizing men and women and children, all whoever hear and believe and truly repent with my spirit. For the promise, this is the promise, is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as Yah our Elohim shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. So he's going to baptize the handmaiden and the bondmaiden. He's going to baptize your children. He's going to baptize you with his spirit. I'm no longer dwelling, going to meet you in this tabernacle, this building. I tore that curtain open. There's no veil between you and I in that building, and I'm not meeting you there anymore. I've been in the Messiah, in the body of a man. I told you to worship me as the Son. When I ripped, caused that body to be ripped open, torn for you, when it died, I came out. And at this point, I am now preparing to fill all men with my spirit. All that should come to me and repent. This is what tabernacles is about. The Most High tabernacle with you and I, and we becoming those living and breathing tabernacles. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and we're going to get verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Most High, which is in you, which you have of Elohim, and you are not your own? This is what tabernacle is about. You and I becoming those living and breathing tabernacles. And we are to reflect on this during tabernacle. We're to understand that the nations in the future will have to come to Jerusalem. And why won't they have to enter into the temple? Because you and I will be there as well. And the Most High will be there as well. But he's in us. Teaching the people, sanctifying the people, saving the people. That's what we are supposed to be doing today. being living and breathing tabernacles, like Messiah was. Elohim with us. That's why the Most High said that Messiah's name means Emmanuel. Elohim with us. God with us. So he's fulfilling the promise. I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall dream dreams, and your old men shall see visions. When he tore the flesh by us, this is what happened. Okay. And so the Most High was behind the veil in the tabernacle, in the temple. Then he says, now I'm in this body of Messiah, walking around, telling you what you need to do. And then I'm going to use the same body to pay the price for your sin. I'm going to use the same body to pay the price for your sin because it is a perfect sacrifice. I have walked perfectly in it. And I can use it as a sacrifice for what I require to pay for your sin. And so now I'm going to make atonement for you, which is what the Day of Atonement is about. I'll make atonement for you. And now you can come. I've wiped your slate clean. And if you are truly repentant, then I will fill you with my spirit. Because this is what I desire for mankind. This is what I was telling David. What temple are you going to build me? What house are you going to build me? I already have the house that I want. I had it from the beginning. It was my desire to dwell in mankind. Our forefathers were always stiff-necked about this. And he said, he told them, let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 7. And I'm kind of all over the place, as I said. I had this organized a little bit different, but we're going to get there. You're getting the gist of it, of what this is about. We put up the temporary booth. We dwell in them 7 days. We contemplate and we think about what the Most High has done for us, how he sustained our forefathers in the wilderness 40 years, how he dwelt among us, so how he dwells and is supposed to dwell in us today, that we are the sanctuary, that we are the temple that he desires to dwell in. That's why you can't just do any and everything in this body. It don't belong to you. It belongs to the Most High. You are the temple of the Ruach HaKodesh, the spirit of the Most High. And when somebody meets you, they're supposed to be meeting the Most High. He'll take over. He'll testify. That's where the gift of healings and all these other gifts and stuff come from, dwelling within us. It's not us doing the work. It's him inside of us. Okay. Let's see. Let me find this verse I'm looking for. Go down to verse 51, Acts chapter 7, verse 51. Stephen has gone through and he's recited all of the history of Israel dealing with the Most High. If you go up to starting in verse 1 all the way down through here, he runs down the Most High's dealing with Israel. Okay, and he's doing it as a testimony against Israel. Okay, and in verse 51, he's telling them this is the chief problem right here. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and in ears, you do always resist the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do you. Our forefathers in the wilderness resisted the Most High. They murmured against him. They complained. They sinned. They would not keep his laws, his commandments. He could not dwell among them. to move my sanctuary outside of the camp. Because if I stay inside this camp, I'm going to have to kill all of y'all. Because you're stiff-necked and you're hard-hearted. My desire is to dwell with you, to be among you, to tell you, to talk with you, to guide you, to heal you, to correct you, to be your Elohim, and you to be my people. But you were stiff-necked and hard-hearted and uncircumcised in heart and in ears, still on that Egyptian stuff, and didn't want to obey. You resist the Holy Ghost. So they resisted, and the Most High couldn't dwell among them, and he couldn't dwell in them. So this has always been the problem. And tabernacles is what you're supposed to be reflecting on. This is what you're supposed to be reflecting on. What the Most High has done for us. How he has sustained us. How he sustained our forefathers 40 years in the wilderness. And they dwelt in temporary dwellings. But so did he. And it was his desire to dwell with his people, in his people. He said, you know, this people ain't ready, so let me have them to make me a sanctuary, and I'll live among them. Not in them, but among them, because they're not ready. And then when he came and paid the ultimate price, where Messiah dies on the cross and a man's blood is shed for our sin, he says, now the price has been paid. It is done. It is finished. I never want it for sacrifice, because the blood of bulls and goats, a bull or a goat never sinned against me. An animal didn't sin against me. It was a man. For the blood of a man. And there was not going to be a man born that was going to be sinless. So I had to come myself. So I came myself, and I allowed my creation to kill me, to sacrifice me, so that they could come back to me. And I used this mechanism to save them from me. Because it ain't going to be pretty when I come back. If you ain't saved, when I come back, it's not going to be well with you. If you didn't get saved before you died, it's not going to go well with you. You being saved from me, my wrath. Nobody wants to go through what I'm going to put sinners, the wicked, through. Nothing in the creation wants that. The angels don't want it. And I created this fire for the angels, for spiritual beings. I'm going to have to turn you into a spiritual being, an eternal being, and then throw you in this fire. Nothing should want this. So we are to think on this during tabernacles, and we're to understand and look upon our lives. We just got to atonement. Going through atonement. And remember, atonement is not for willful sin. But we made a special prayer that the Most High would forgive at least this one time our willful sin, because he never forgave willful sin. Not in Torah, not in the New Testament. Only one time coming to Messiah. And that's the beauty and the power and the wisdom of the Most High unto salvation. One time I'm going to let you come, and I'm going to forgive your willful sin. After that, you are accountable. And so he wants us to contemplate that and to remember that. That this is going to be your job in the future, to teach the nation when they come to tabernacle. Y'all need to repent. You need to turn away from those serving. There's only one God providing for you, and if you don't come, he's going to show you that he's the only Elohim by not letting it rain on your land and letting it dry up. And when you're starving and dying of thirst, then perhaps you will call out to him. Then perhaps you will repent. Because everything else you're praying to ain't going to answer you. Because they don't exist. God. So now come and learn of the ways of the Most High. That's what Tabernacle is going to be about in the future for the nation. And the saints are supposed to teach them. And so you and I, today, before Messiah returns, job is to be filled by the Ruach HaKodesh. To be that living and breathing tabernacle. To be that sacrifice. Go to Romans chapter 3. So we see the problem with our forefathers was they were hard-hearted and stiff-necked. Would not submit themselves, turn themselves over to the Most High. It was just too unbelievable for them. He's requiring too much of them. They accuse the Most High of being unfair. Your ways are not fair. Who are you? Are not my ways fair and just? You want to go by your standards instead of his. And that's what our forefathers were doing. Romans chapter 3. I believe that's where I want to go. Maybe it's not Romans chapter 3 yet. Hold on. Good grief. Go to Romans chapter 12. If you're to be that living, breathing, walking tabernacle with the Spirit of the Most High within you, offering salvation to the world, being the example, a living example to the world. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of Elohim, that you present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto Yah, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of Elohim. The Most High says, I'm going to give you my Spirit. I'm going to make you my child. I'm going to dwell in you. You yourself are going to become a living tabernacle. You yourself have to be holy. You yourself have to be that perfect sacrifice. And it's a sacrifice that's acceptable unto Yah. Without blemish, tabernacles is all about. It all ties together. It all comes back to the same thing. It ain't just about us living in and walking through the wilderness. Because that whole walk through the wilderness was to make us the priest that he wanted us to be. Now, I want us to understand something. Our forefathers were so bad in the wilderness that the Most High did not fill the priesthood with his Spirit. The Aaronic priesthood did not have the Spirit of the Most High. They weren't filled with the Ruach HaKodesh. The tribe of Levi didn't have the Spirit of the Most High. They were not filled with the Ruach HaKodesh. The other 11 tribes did not have the Ruach HaKodesh, but this is what the Most High wanted to do. But because our forefathers were stiff-necked and hard-hearted, uncircumcised in heart and uncircumcised in ears, They resisted him. They were too carnal. And we are doing the same things today. Not understanding that the whole mission, the entire time, the Most High wanted to be in his people. He wants his spirit to dwell in his people. He wants a tabernacle with his people to make children out of us by begetting us with his spirit. He did this by the tearing of the flesh of Messiah, the veil of Messiah's flesh. Oh, now, don't need this body no more. Not for that purpose. I'm going to pour out myself upon all flesh. Body, and when I step into this world, this is the body they're going to see. The body I'm going to rule them from. I'm going to be their king from. But I want my spirit to dwell in each and every one of you. I want you to become my sons and my daughters and be the example that I was. Let's get another verse here. Maybe hearing these verses this way will give us the understanding that we need so that we don't take this thing lightly, that this should be enough to cause us to walk in all his ways. What was I going to look up? All right, it'll come back to me. Started talking and forgot what I was going to look up. Let us go back to Hebrews chapter 10 for right now. So when you are celebrating tabernacles, you understand that, yes, it is about the Most High dwelling with us. It is about us dwelling in temporary booths. It's about our forefathers walking through the wilderness, 40 years. But it's also about Messiah and us becoming that living and breathing tabernacle. Us being the tabernacle. Go back to verse 20. It says, by a new and living way, which created for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of Elohim. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. I promise to give you my spirit. I'm faithful to that. And let us consider one another to provoke one another, to provoke unto love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approach. Sin willfully. Goes back to this. If we sin willfully after we have come into the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice. Because we understand what he did for us. He went to the cross. He died for us. He was ripped open for us. And when he was ripped open, the Father stepped out and says, now I'm ready to start making children by my spirit. I have made the qualification that if you believe in me and what I did on the cross, that I'm going to fill you with my spirit, and I'm going to tabernacle with you. And you're going to become that living and breathing tabernacle. And if you sin after that, understanding what you are and who you are, you have come into the knowledge of the truth, and there is no more sacrifice for you if you willfully sin. All of this is tied together. And it's so that we understand that the mission that he has given us, something that we take lightly. So we have 7 days to contemplate this, that we don't willfully sin, that we don't take for granted that our Elohim came in the flesh and allowed us to kill him and rip him open, use his flesh of his body as a veil for him to step out of and to fill us with his spirit. That we don't take that lightly. That we don't take that mechanism that he used to give us salvation lightly. And that we for sure don't just willfully be disobedient because he's a loving God. He said that don't work for him. That is a fallacy and a fantasy that some man, some religion has made up about him. Because he don't ever say that in his word. Everything is conditional. If you do this. So in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26, he says, if, conditional, we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth. That's the qualification. You know the truth. And then you go and sin intentionally, there remains no more sacrifice for sin. You can't confess that. How are you going to teach the world my way and you can't keep my way? How are you going to be my priest and you can't follow and keep the instructions? Set the example. Tabernacles is designed for us to marinate in that. Now, up under Torah, we would have just finished atonement. The high priest would have just gone into the Holy of Holies and forgiven the sins of Israel that were able to be entered into the sanctuary. And we know that those sins that were able to be entered into the sanctuary were only ignorant sins. And under the law, if you sinned willfully, they killed you. It was found out that you did a sin that was willful. Fornication is a willful sin. You don't just accidentally fornicate. You can accidentally kill somebody. You don't accidentally fornicate. And you don't accidentally tell a lie. So there's some sins that you can't accidentally do. Most of them you cannot accidentally do unless you just don't know about them. So once you were taught, the Most High says, now you're accountable. And if you sin presumptuously, willfully, there's no sacrifice for that. You can't atone for that. So those sins were never in the sanctuary. If you couldn't bring a sacrifice for them to be in the sanctuary. Now, we know this has been taught. But then when we get to tabernacle, okay, after I cleaned you up, it's my desire to dwell with you. You've been cleaned up. You can come around now. You can be in my presence. But my desire is not for you to just be in my presence. My desire is for me to be in you. I designed you that way, that my spirit will combine with your spirit, and I will dwell with you, inside of you, and I would work through you, And so that's why you have to go where I say go. You have to be in tune to me. If I'm in you, if I say go here, you need to go there. If I say do this, then you need to do that. And we're supposed to contemplate this stuff and understand this is what Tabernacles is all about. And when he returns, only those people who are filled with his spirit, they're the only names that are going to be in the Lamb's Book of Life. Those are the only ones that are going to be in his kingdom ultimately. In the end, because the Most High says he's not unrighteous, he's not unjust. I'm gonna rule you for one day, 1,000 years, from the position of Messiah for 1,000 years. And I'm gonna rule you with a rod of iron. Because this is how bad it is. I'm gonna rule you with a rod of iron. That means strict. You break a commandment, I'm gonna enforce the law. It ain't going to be no, oops, I'm sorry. Once you have been taught, I'm going to enforce it, and I'm going to enforce it strictly. And all those who overcome and rule with me, they got to enforce it strictly too. And for 1,000 years, I'm going to rule. And at the end of 1,000 years, I'm going to let Satan back out to do what Satan does, to reveal what's in your heart. Are you doing right because you want to do right, or are you doing right because you're scared that you'll get punished? But if you had the choice, you'll be doing all that ungodly stuff. You'll be doing all that unrighteous stuff if you had a choice, and that's what Satan does. He tempts you. If it's in you, it tempts you with it. You can't be tempted by something that's not in you. So all we got to do is get it right. We use Tabernacles to contemplate this, to think about it, to dwell on it, to review what all the Most High has done, and that his desire is to tabernacle with us and to be in us, that we learn his ways and we walk in his ways. And that we use 2 of those days to worship him, to bow down to him, to give him all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Children, thank him for giving us the example. Tabernacles is about. So, yeah, remember that I brought you through the wilderness. And the only reason that you were in the wilderness 40 years is why? You were stiff-necked and hard-hearted. And I still sustained you. I didn't let your clothes rot out on you. I flew those quail in every day, 3 feet thick, 10 miles wide, that you'd have meat. I put manna on the ground and gave you bread every day, 5 days a week, or 6 days, no, 5 days a week, and on the sixth day you were to gather for 2. I caused the water, the rock, that the water that came out, when Moses struck the rock and the water came out of the rock that was a flint rock, I caused that rock to follow you around. Think about that. I caused that rock to follow you around and to provide water for 2 or 3 million people for 40 years. People don't understand that miracle. When they say that that rock was Christ, that rock was the power and the wisdom of Elohim to provide salvation to Israel. It was a Christ. It was not the Christ. But it saved the people in the wilderness where there was no water. And he said that rock followed them for 40 years. They traveled all around the wilderness. And this rock that had water coming out of it followed them. So when they stopped, the rock stopped. And they watered themselves. And then the Most High said, okay, here comes the bread. Here comes your meat. Dwell on all that. All the miracles that he has shown us. And understand that the whole time, it is his desire to be in us. So the book of Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And I'm going to finish this up with this. Here the whole 2 hours this morning. I think we get the gist of this. Showing you that this is a feast day that all of the nations are going to be required to come to. This is a feast day that Israel is required to keep. Showing you that the tabernacle and the sanctuary is tied to Messiah. It's tied to the Ruach HaKodesh. It is the mechanism that the Most High used to release his spirit into the world that he might fill us with his Ruach HaKodesh, his spirit, that he would dwell with us. But they were stiff-necked and hard-hearted. And all this last 2,000 years, even after we've been scattered, the vast majority of us want the spirit to be how much word we know, how much Bible we read. The more Bible we read, the more spirit we got. That's not it. The Pharisees knew the law. The Sadducees knew the law. The lawyers knew the law. The scribes knew the law. They still had to be filled by the Spirit of the Most High. So when, you know, my brothers and sisters are trying to equate the Spirit to how much words you know, that ain't it. Still being stiff-necked and hard-hearted. Romans chapter 8, let's start in verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus or Yeshua HaMashiach, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The only way you can walk after the Spirit is to have the Spirit of the Most High. Let's just put it where everybody can get it. You got to be filled by his Spirit. The only way you're going to walk after his Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. This flesh didn't want to keep it. Elohim sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Y'all ain't going to be able to use that as an excuse. I'm condemning sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. The righteousness of the law. The law is righteous. To do the law makes you righteous. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. See, when we are carnal-minded, when we are worldly-minded, then all we see is what's in front of us. And this has to be the way it is. You know, I had a sister tell me one time, you know, there's no way Messiah was born without sex, without Mary having sex with a man. That is just not the way things work. I think that the Most High, but we'll accept that mankind can create a baby through a turkey baster or through injecting semen into a woman's womb or into an egg and produce a baby without sexual intercourse. But the Most High, the creator of everything, there's no way he could do it by his own means. I was like, wow, okay. So you truly are carnal, because there's no way that the Most High could supernaturally do this. But man can do it. Okay. So we have to walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. For they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. With the Most High, all things are possible. He created everything, and it says he created everything by speaking it into existence. Then he formed man from the dust of the ground, and then he blew into his nostrils the breath of life. Nothing too hard for me. There's only one thing I can't do, and that's lie. And there's only one thing I don't know, and that's any other God. Everything else I know. If it exists, it came through me. It came by me. Whether it was good or evil, I create good and I create evil. So then we got to understand that he's able to do whatever he wants to do. And because we only know this natural world, and we want to limit the Most High to this natural world, he says, you can't do that. For to be carnally minded is death. If you stay in that mindset, then you're going to die. The spiritual death. And you're going to die the death of being thrown into the lake. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Life in the kingdom at peace with the Most High. So this is what you're being saved from. His wrath. Because the carnal mind is enmity, it's hatred against Elohim, against the Most High. For it is not subject to the law of Elohim, neither indeed can be. The carnal mind will not subject itself to the laws of the Most High. The carnal mind will find a way to circumvent the laws of the Most High. Carnal mind will try to justify itself. The carnal mind will try to let this flesh have whatever it wants. This flesh wants what's in this world. And all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. That's what this body wants. And we want attention. If we are of sexual age, we want sexual gratification. We want to continue doing those things that we don't even think about, like breathing and our heart beating. Those are all the carnal things, the ways of this world, the things that we have to survive in this world, to exist in this world. But the Most High says, I want you to step it up. You have to become spiritual. And it's by my Spirit. So he says, the carnal mind is hatred against me. I want you to fight against your natural nature. For it is not subject to the laws of Elohim. And neither indeed can be. Can't be subject to his laws. Because it's contrary to his laws. He's telling you to go against your own nature. Become like him. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please Elohim. If you don't learn to come outside of your flesh, you cannot please him. It isn't going to be hard. He said you can't do it until you learn to step outside this flesh and not please this, not live for this flesh. You can't do it. That's your motivation. That's all you have. Verse 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Now here comes the if condition. How are you in the Spirit? If so be that the Spirit of Elohim dwell in you. That's what he has always wanted. I want to dwell in you. I want to be in you. I want my statutes, my laws, my commandments, my ordinances, my judgments to be in you, but I also literally want to be in you. I want to be at you as my child by my spirit. I want to be at you. So, but you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be that the spirit of Elohim dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. The spirit of Christ is the spirit of Elohim. To wit, Elohim, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Spirit of Christ is the spirit of Elohim. There's only one spirit. One, not two, not three. One. Because that spirit has to dwell in you. And if you have not the spirit of Christ, which is the spirit of Elohim, you are none of his. You're not my child. You don't belong to me. You're illegitimate. You claim to be your daddy, but I ain't your daddy. And if Christ be in you, remember Christ is not a who, but a what. If the spirit of Elohim be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. You have the spirit of the Most High and you follow his commandments. You become lawful. You do right. You become righteous. But you can't just do right and not have his spirit. Because that is to deny Messiah. That is to deny the Most High. That is to not yield yourself to him. Verse 11. And if this doesn't tell you who the Ruach HaKodesh is, then nothing will tell you. But if the spirit of him that raised up Yeshua from the dead dwell in you. The spirit that raised up Messiah from the dead. It is the Father that raised up Christ from the dead. It is the Father that is the Spirit of Christ. It is the Father that is the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. If the spirit of him that raised up Yeshua from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body. How? By his spirit that dwells in you. This is what Tabernacles is about. Making sure that you are repentant before the Most High. Making sure that you are full of his Ruach HaKodesh. Making sure that you are walking in his way. Making sure that you aren't living for a cigarette. Not living for a joint. Not living for a bottle of liquor. Not living for the flesh. Not living for the ways of the world. To be carnal. But that you're living for him. That you're living to be the example that he wants you to be. That you are that living and walking tabernacle with his spirit dwelling in you. Just like he dwelt in the tabernacle in Jerusalem. You and I today are supposed to be that living and breathing tabernacle with the spirit of the Most High dwelling within us. He says, and it's by his spirit dwelling in us, direct us. Three verses 11 through 13 again. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus or Yeshua from the dead dwell in you. We know the scripture says that the Father raised up Messiah. If the spirit of the Father dwell in you, that is the Ruach HaKodesh. That is the Holy Spirit. If he dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by his spirit that dwells in you. So as you go into tabernacles on this evening, Remember, it's a holy convocation. Remember that you are supposed to be dwelling on what the Most High has done. That in the future, he's going to come back and dwell with us in the earth. But right now, he's dwelling with us and supposed to be inside of us. And if we are not spiritual-minded, we might be, how is he going to dwell on the earth and be in us at the same time? It is the mind that will understand that the Most High is everywhere. Everywhere he wants to be. He can be in you, in me. He can be in a whole separate body talking to you from the flesh of another body and still be in you. It's not impossible for him. But if we are carnal-minded, we can't see that and we won't understand that. You know, that just don't make sense. The carnal mind cannot please him. The carnal mind can't understand him. The carnal mind can't understand spiritual things. Because the carnal mind places the Most High in a box. In a box that he didn't place himself. 11 again. But if the spirit of him that raised up Yeshua from the dead dwell in you, Romans chapter 8, verse 11. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by his spirit that dwells in you. So when that veil ripped in the temple in two, the Most High says, Israel, I'm no longer meeting you here. I am in the body of Messiah, and now I'm going to rip the veil of his flesh, and I'm going to step out, and I'm going to release my spirit to mankind, and I'm going to make sons and daughters. I'm going to make children by my spirit, and if I don't find my spirit in you, when you go into the grave, it's too late. I don't find it in you, when you go into the grave, when I come back, when I blow the last trumpet, it's not you that's going to hear the trumpet. It's going to be my spirit that's in you that goes into the grave with you. I will not leave you or forsake you ever, not even in the grave. And when my spirit hears the trumpet, I will wake you up. I will get you up. I will resurrect you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, give life unto your mortal body. How? By his spirit that dwelleth in you. I'm going to be with you in the grave. And at the last trump, I will hear the trumpet sound, and I will resurrect you, because I'm there with you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, but to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you live through the Spirit and do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of Elohim, by the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, they are the sons of Elohim. You become his son, his child. But the spirit doesn't have, a spirit doesn't have gender. So when we say sons, that includes men and women. For as many as are led by the spirit of Elohim, they are the sons of Elohim. But you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. But you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh bears it with our spirit that we are the children of Elohim. It's his spirit that bears witness, you are my child. Yes, I have adopted you. I have chosen you. I want us to take this and understand that when he says many are called, he's the one doing the calling. And if you are chosen, he's the one doing the choosing. He's choosing those who choose him, number one, and submit themselves 100% with their whole heart. Not trying to hold on to anything in this world. Not trying to live for this world. Trying to do what it is that he said to do. Not trying to do it, but doing it. Let me get one more verse, and we'll wrap this up for today. John, chapter 3. John, chapter 3. And look at verse 2. 1 John, chapter 3, and verse 2. I want everybody to really make sure you get this. The Most High has always wanted to tabernacle with his people, all the way from Adam. He walked with Adam and Eve in the garden. And then he had to kick them out of the garden. When he established Israel, he walked amongst Israel. And he said, this people is unclean. They are all together just stiff-necked and hard-hearted. He says, not kicking Israel out. He says, move me out from amongst his people. Kick Adam and Eve out of the garden. He moved out of the house himself. He said, move my house outside the camp. Because this people is stiff-necked and hard-hearted. They do always resist me. When Messiah came so that he would offer salvation first to Israel and then to the rest of the world. And he told Israel, don't remain stiff-necked and hard-hearted. Believe me with your heart. Keep the law, my statutes and commandments, not just to the letter of the law, but to the intent of the law. The law was just a guideline. But there's a spirit to the law. So I want you to walk in the spirit of the law. Intent was when you get married that you never get divorced. But because of the hardness of your heart, stiff-necked and hard-hearted, I allow Moses to give you divorce. Because you were killing the women. You were doing everything you could to get out of this. I even gave you provisions to have a second wife or a third wife. Stop doing for the first or the second. And you didn't want to keep that law. You wanted more wives, but you didn't want to keep that law. So it's because of the stiffness and the hard-heartedness. But what we got to realize today is 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. Beloved, now, today, if you've been filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, today are we the sons of Elohim. You just don't look like you're going to look. You're not in the form that you're going to be in when he returns. But it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, when Messiah shall appear, we shall be like him. He gave us a glimpse of what we're going to look like. He gave us a glimpse of what we are to look forward to when he was on the Mount of Transfiguration. And he started to glow. And he became so bright like the sun that they couldn't look at him. And he still didn't take on his full natural form. But he's been giving you a glimpse of what you're going to be like. Because when I return and I resurrect you, this is what you're going to look like. This is the nature you're going to take on. This is the form you're going to take on. For we shall see him as he is. None of us has ever seen a true saint in their true form because we haven't taken on that body yet. But we know that when he returns, his word is good, his promise is good. We're going to be like him. Think about this during this tabernacle. Think about what the Most High is offering you. Think about what he's going to do for you, for us. But you need to personalize it for yourself because you can't save nobody but yourself. Save yourself. You can't save your husband. You can't save your wife. You can't save your children. You can only tell them. But you can't save them. Do what you need to do to save you. Show them the way. Be the example for them. Through your walk, they might come into the knowledge of the truth. They might choose to go to walk the right path. But you got to be the example. That means you got to do everything that Messiah said, and you got to do it with your whole heart. He says, or you cannot be my disciple. You can't love anybody else more than you love me. You cannot be my disciple if you do. If you put anything else before me, you cannot be my disciple. You can't be saved by me. You're going to be calling out my name, and you might be working miracles. So I'm going to say, get away from me. Because you didn't do what I asked you to do. I told you to give me your whole heart. I told you to make the kingdom the most important thing in your life. I told you to obey my voice. With your whole heart. This is what he wants. He appears when he returns and we shall be like him. Think about that on this tabernacle. Think about, do I have Messiah dwelling within me? Do I know that I know that I know that I know? Am I sure? Am I positive? Does my life reflect it? When somebody sees me, do they say, oh, there goes a man or a woman of the Most High? Or do they say, there goes a drunkard, there goes an alcoholic, there goes a drug addict, there goes a prostitute? There goes somebody that talks the talk, but they don't walk the walk. Contemplate that on this tabernacle. Commandment. Join us this evening as we begin the observance of tabernacle with our celebration, our holy convocation. Every holy convocation is serious. It's not something that you do to use as an occasion to get drunk or high or to feast. You can feast the next 5 or 6 days, but his holy convocations, they are to be taken seriously, in a solemn assembly. We don't take his feast days as an occasion to the flesh. He makes an occasion for you for those. He makes it for you to do that. But not on his holy days. Not on the days that he says, these are holy days. These are holy convocations. So we will have a ceremony tonight. And I pray that you get your tabernacles up. Even if you if you don't have the yard or you don't have a tent, take a sheet and make a tent in your living room or in your bedroom or whatever. That you might keep the spirit of the feast day. Nobody's going to be able to go out and find all those trees and all that kind of stuff. People try to get so lawful that they miss the spirit and the intent of the observance. Just like the Most High says on the Day of Atonement, I want you to take a fast. Tabernacles is about living in a temporary dwelling that you don't have your bed in. You don't have all your creature comforts. You may not have that, may not have the ability to do it, but you can take a blanket and put it up. Sleep on the floor. Contemplate the Most High. Set your mind in the wilderness. Set it on Messiah. Contemplate your life in the coming year. What are you going to do for the Most High? What are you going to purpose for him? Purposely do, not accidentally do, not do at the spur of the moment. That's why he says, to every man as he purposed, heart. You got a purpose in your heart to do something for the Most High. So let him give. When he told them to bring, when we read in Exodus chapter 25, and he told all the people to bring me an offering. Another place he says, hey, if they don't want to bring it, don't, if you don't want to give it, don't give it, don't bring it. But every man according as his purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. For Yah loveth the cheerful giver. What are you going to do for him in the coming up year? We know that this world is going crazy. And we know that times are winding up. Are you acting accordingly? Or are you doing as they were in the days of Noah? Just going about everyday life like everyday life. And he says, suddenly destruction comes. He did not warn the people in Noah's days that he was going to flood the earth. Messiah says they didn't know it until it happened. Noah wasn't out there saying, it's going to rain, it's going to rain. Y'all's going to kill all of y'all. He wasn't doing that. Moses said, hey, y'all need to keep the law. Y'all need to obey the commandments of the Most High. Y'all need to do right. He never told them that flood was coming. Are we living our lives that way? I know we feel it, but are we getting overwhelmed by the day-to-day and don't have our eyes on the goal? And that's doing what he wants to do. Let us bow our heads. Father Yah, we thank you on today. We thank you for your gift of atonement. We thank you for Messiah, Father, for the work that he did and what he opened up to us, that we should become those living, breathing tabernacles, that we should have your spirit, that we should be offering you to the world. Father, bless your people. If there are any who don't know you in that way, Father, as they contemplate and look on you, as they repent, as they turn themselves totally 100% over to you with their whole heart, Father, give them the promise of the Ruach HaKodesh, as you have promised that you would do to them that love you. Bless them during this tabernacle. If they have any in their family that they've been trying to get to come, to straighten up and to do right, Father, give them the ability to reach out to them as a living and breathing tabernacle. to draw them unto you. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. All right. So we will meet on this evening, 7 p.m. Have your unleavened bread for those of you who are going to participate. Have your grape juice. Have your meal if you're going to have a meal with us. Yep. And as we observe tabernacles, as we praise and worship the Most High, may the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you. And love you like the Most High loves you. Shalom, family. Fear Yah and keep his commandments.
Who are Shalom, Brother Miles and family. Happy High Sabbath.
Shalom, Sister Mary. Happy High Sabbath to you and the rest of the family. Peace and blessings. Shalom.
The fire. With fire.
That you redeemed us from this untoward world, Father. And that you bless us on a daily basis. As we dwell in tents on these next 7 days, Father, put it upon our hearts that we would meditate upon you and that we would become those living tabernacles, Father, that you have called us to be, that you dwell within us, that we present you to the world, and that we present ourselves to you as a living sacrifice. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
All right. So that concludes this evening's service for Tabernacles. As you go tonight, remember to lift up Sister Lorraine in prayer. That the Most High would heal her and give her relief from this asthma and flu attack that she's having. As far as the morning service, I think we will have to do that probably 7 a.m. in the morning, which will give us enough time to do this and not interfere with anybody going to work. If it needs to be earlier, let me know. We can always move it up earlier. I will come up with some type of morning service that we can do. Amen.
Amen.
So we will do that. I will schedule it, and we will have prayer, and we'll go through a couple of things, scripture readings, what have you, to start our day off in a short message. And we will do this every day for the next